I'm Lieutenant Joe Pangaro. I've been a cop for 27 years. I like to say I got a backstage pass to life. Well, guess what? I got some tickets for you. So come on in, pull up a chair, turn up that volume, and let's go. Chasing Justice is on. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Chasing Justice here on the America Out Loud Radio Network. I'm your host, Lieutenant Joe Pangaro, and today I am in the neighborhood. I happened to be walking by, and these guys reached up to grab me, drag me in the back. Hey, come into the neighborhood. So here I am with the fellas from the neighborhood. Today we have Rock and Roll Race Car Jack. Jack, how are you?
Hey, Joe. It's great to be here.
We haven't had you in a long time. You've been out racing. You've been winning?
Yeah, we've been having a good time, let me put it that way.
That's excellent. And also, here we go, Reverend. We have Bill, the man of faith, Dallas, is with us today. Bill, how are you?
I'm doing well, Joe. Praise the Lord.
Oh, that's very good. And also, to my right, always seated to my right, never to the left, is Jim the Contrarian Jordan.
You got that,
Jim,
how are you? Joe. I'm doing well. Thank
excellent.
You.
Well, gentlemen, first thing I want to draw your attention to is the other night I was sitting and I was listening to the news and I'm listening to the polls and they're talking about all the things that are going on in our country. And as we all do, we sit around, we keep up on this. We're news junkies. We're concerned about our country, our future, and all that. And they brought up these polls again that showed the numbers now are unbelievable, where we have over 50% of people under the age of 32. Not only do they say that socialism is not bad, 52% of them say they would rather live in a socialist or communist country than in the capitalist country that they live in. And that actually, shocked me. The first time I heard it a couple of years ago, I said, it's a fluke, it's a one-off, it's a left-wing fake news poll. They were trying to come up with some nonsense. But this poll has been repeated over and over and over again, and these young people really have been blindsided with all of the indoctrination, Jim, as you always say, that goes on in schools. My own kids come home and tell me the stories of what's going on in schools and how they're indoctrinated. And it's not every school, but in lots of schools, it's not the traditional American values that are taught anymore. And I am perfectly okay with sticking our head up and looking around going, hey, okay, we've evolved. Our country has evolved. We have to see things differently than we did in the past. They're sins of the past. I get it. And we're moving forward. We're always evolving. We're always learning, being better people. I get that. But the reality to say that we should completely abandon our historical place in the world, our capitalist system, our system of the Constitution and the freedoms we have as individuals over the state should be abandoned for free healthcare, for free medicine, for free whatever else these guys want to give away. So I wrote this article, which you can find right now over on the AmericaOutloud.com network website. Go take a look over there. It's called The Coolness of Socialism and what it's about. So go take a look at that, because I'm not putting down young people. I'm not. They have been told that this is better and that our way is not so good. And we should abandon it. And we're full of hate. And we're full of all this other nonsense because the people that are pushing this want to change our country. And I was so upset by that I sat down at the computer, as I often do, and I just let it fly. Okay, now, of course, I get it to Malcolm Out Loud, who is our greatest editor of all here in America Out Loud. And he says, you can't have a 75,000-word column. Okay, you got to cut it down. So I cut it down a little bit to 1,500. But that column, and you fellas all heard what's in there, my concerns are very, very clear that what happens in the next 20 years when these younger people, these people in their 30s, are now a voting bloc majority and they finally have their chance and the media is with them and everything is with them saying, here's the moment of glory that we get rid of the hideousness of what America was all about and we socialize our country and we make it finally what it should have been. What, Jack, what do you think?
I think and I hope that in the near future, as these people get a little bit older and get out of the pipeline of what they're being fed about socialism and give themselves an opportunity to really look at the examples around the world of the failures of socialism and the confinement and the horrible, horrible disease of communism.
Now, that's interesting that you say that, Jack, because what's the old saying? If you're not a liberal at 20, you have no heart. If you're not a conservative at 40, you have no head.
Right.
So what you're hoping is that transformation takes place again here in America, where these young people start to realize, hey, now I have things. I own things. I own property. I own money. I have put together a building life for my family.
Let's not forget, I can come and go as I please. I can choose what I wish to do with my life. and I can choose to go out into the street and speak my mind. Things like this will all be taken away as we get a system that turns people into nothing more than masters and servants.
Well, and it's, you know what? And I think we all know that. I think we all understand how this actually works. What these kids are told, no, not only will they be able to do free speech, they'll be able to do good speech, loving speech, compassionate speech, all that hate speech will be gone.
Once they get out of that pipeline where they're being fed, much like Jimmy has often said, as long as they're being fed this line by people that they respect, they will believe it. They won't have that independent thought. I wish that they would. I wish that they could. And I wish that they would pull their head out of the sand and take a look around and realize what's going on in Argentina and realize that Sweden has given up even their socialized medicine. They've changed their ways. They've seen that it does not work. They saw that it actually is less affordable than a free market economy.
Yeah. Go ahead, Billy.
Yeah, right now, these young people are getting their egos stroked. But they're going to wake up at some point, and they're going to realize that their views don't make a difference unless they are leaning left. And I'm going to tell you, a recent survey of 1,000 Republican and Republican-leaning college students have found that 73% have hidden their political views in the class. Why? Because they're worried about exposing them could negatively impact their grades. Why should they be afraid?
Well, let's draw that same connection to how many adults, like right now they're saying every Democrat out there will beat Trump, and they said Hillary would beat Trump. Turns out nobody beat Trump. The reality is, how many people are willing to put a Trump sticker on their car so they can have their tires slashed or their windows bashed or eggs thrown at their house? So who wants to put those posters in front of their houses? Who wants to answer publicly, are you for Trump? And you say no. Who wears a hat so you can have seven people come over and bash you in the face with your family and take the hat off your
head? Exactly. You can't even wear a MAGA hat and walk down the street without being worried about somebody coming.
So that kind of matches these conservative kids. Yes. Who, if they in the classroom stand up and say, hey, Ronald Reagan was great, they'll get 20 points off their final exam.
But that's not just the teacher. That's also their classmates.
Yes.
Will also demonize them.
But let's remember, we're talking about the younger people of America right now. And to get them to listen to reason, I think, is the hardest point. To get them to listen to reason, let's just think about this for one moment. One of the main points that's drawing these kids in is free college. Let's face it, they all want to go to college for free, and who wouldn't? The point of my suggestion is, what good is a free college degree in a society where it won't make a difference if you have a college degree or you're digging a ditch? You'll have the same, you'll work the same, and you'll make the same.
So, Jim, in that socialist world, who makes
the
decisions?
The only people who make money in those societies are the people who control the masses. The military, the teachers, the politicians.
So the meager income that will be left for the working class will practically be the same.
They'll be everything. So, you know, we'll be equal. We'll be
equally
equal, but we'll all serve the same master.
So,
and I'm not going to be part of that.
See, now these kids, though, Jack, when I talk to them, because I do talk to these kids, and they tell me, no, you don't understand. People haven't done it right before. They've done it with a tyrant in charge. We're not going to be tyrants. We're going to do the good thing. We're going to make sure that the rich guys who got too much, they still have a lot of money, but they don't need the rest of that money. We're going to take that and split it amongst all. We're all going to have Cadillacs and beautiful houses,
so they're
not just the rich guy.
So they're seeking the kinder Hitler.
Well, they don't realize they are. I think they're just going to do it right, and it's going to be benevolent. It's going to be a benevolent dictatorship when the dictator, all he wants to do or she wants to do is make sure that everyone, no one's going to be a common denominator low. They're going to be common denominator high, because didn't President Obama promise not only are you going to save $2,500 a year on your health insurance, you're going to have more health insurance, better health care than you've ever had in your life, and you're going to save $2,500. Wasn't that the pitch he gave us?
Yes.
Did anybody here have that kind of insurance?
My insurance is horrifying.
Mine got so pitiful after that.
But did the price go down? You saved a lot of money, right?
Oh, no.
No, mine went up, and thank God I still have a decent plan. Mm-hmm. But everything went up. It went up, was unaffordable for most people. And God forbid, you have a major disease.
I'm on Medicare, and my Medicare went up. That's supposed to be something that we get for free. We're supposed to be able to look at our work experience, paying into Social Security and all this other stuff for years. I'm still working because I can't afford to fully retire.
And, you know, when I look at that and I say, why doesn't... Okay, it comes back down again to our media. Our media, no matter what they say, why are they not telling us the truth of it? Why aren't they not putting on story after story with you guys on it going, my costs went through the roof and I had horrible care, as opposed to the one family who never had insurance ever, and now they get insurance and it paid for something that they needed. You know, they got their bunions fixed, and I never would have had that done before. As opposed to the reality where the rubber meets the road, where people's policies had a $15,000 deductible and it was $3,000 a month. So you got to spend $48,000 before you can get a nickel back on your policy. But they could walk around saying, but everybody's covered now. Everybody's covered now. No doubt about it. How did we allow the media to get away with that?
You toe the party line. Just like what Bill said about the kids in school, you toe the party line, you get ahead. You get ahead in Hollywood. You get ahead in journalism. You're conservative in journalism. Let me tell you something. Today's world, forget it. Yes, they're the token few that make it. And they actually become very, very popular, like Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity. But in the everyday journalistic world, there's nobody. They're all lying liberals, and that's what they are. They're liars. And I just bring the Brett Kavanaugh thing that happened today in the New York Times. That was one big, major lie. They haven't dropped it again. They want this guy gone. Mm. And they got caught in a lie. And nothing happened.
Well, how many lies have they been caught in the past couple of weeks where they've been outright blatant lies? Have they stopped lying? No, they just come up with a new lie because nobody turns the channel off. Mm. People keep watching it. This was what I was shocked about in the article. Go to AmericaOutloud.com and look it up, The Coolness of Socialism. Go read the article. What shocked me is that I can't believe that half of our population does not see things the same way I do. I know. How can they not look at this and go, this is all BS. How come we all don't get this?
How could you possibly look as a Democrat at the person who is currently polled second for the nomination as being an out and out admitted liar?
And who was that person?
Pocahontas.
Oh.
Pocahontas.
Who's lied? Who's used these lies to her advantage? Is the reason why she's so for free college is the reason that she used her Native American heritage to get free college and now would have to pay it back?
Yeah, but Huffington or whatever, she get 14 days, you know, and nobody says a word about Pocahontas. That was just an equivalent lie. She used a fake ethnicity to get ahead in the world. No one says a
Isn't
word.
Isn't that ethnic appropriation? Imagine if you did that, Jim. Imagine if you did that.
So that's why I'm against affirmative action. Not because I don't think there's merit to it. I'm against affirmative action because I see the abuse of the system. Anytime the government tries to put anything in force, whether it's Social Security, whatever it is, it gets abused. Why does it cost $1 million or $40 million to build a mile subway? Why does it cost that when in everywhere else it only costs $40,000? It's all being abused. The politicians have gotten richer.
Well, and that's good because I saw a thing a couple years ago. It was really shocking when you talk about that. They said a mile of highway, and there's a lot. You got to dig out the bedding. You got to cut down the trees. You got to clear the land. You got to survey it. All the stuff you got to do to put in a mile of modern high speed highway. You know, four lanes in each direction. In Kansas, it was about $95,000 a mile. In New York City, it was $420 million or some ridiculous number. And you say, it's the same tar, right? It's the same rocks. It's the same guys with hard hats putting the stuff down. Why is it 1,000 times more expensive here than it is in places like that. And that's corruption.
It's corruption.
You know, misappropriation. You gotta pay the right people. Misappropriation. Where is that money?
Misappropriation? What are you, being diplomatic now?
As long as you don't call me a Democrat, I'm okay, Jim.
Okay. So, as we like to do here on Chasing Justice, is that I try to look at things as open-mindedly as I possibly can. I really do, because even in the article, what I said is, maybe I'm just missing the point. Maybe if I just accepted socialism, American socialism, as these young people and the people on the left seem to think it's going to be perfect, maybe it would be perfect. So, Jack, let's just do it real quick. I'll go around the room and get your opinion. Do you think if I go with American socialism, we all get better, freer health care?
No. You'll get worse health care. You'll get minimum health care from the smiling Mao Zedong that we'll put into power.
Okay. Bill, college. We've talked about college. Can everybody go to Princeton and Yale when we have a socialized America? We can all go there. We can all be Ivy Leaguers, right?
Everything looks rosy in the beginning, but then reality sinks in and you find out that going to Princeton isn't all it cracked up to be when you're working at a place like McDonald's flipping burgers.
Well, time out. It's going to be free. So can everybody go there? Their enrollment's going to go from 20,000 to 72 million because we're all going to have degrees, right? Yes or no?
No.
No. All right, no. Jim. Our military, once it's socialized, and they slice up the budget for these army people that go around the world and save everyone. Ugh, pish posh. Is it going to be stronger or weaker after we socialize?
You want to know something, Joe? The military are treated very well in a communist socialist society because they hold the power on the people. I'm not saying the American military will do this because I still have faith in the American military.
I do too.
But as it gets socialized, let me tell you something. Look at every communist country, North Korea. Who holds the power? The military.
The oppressors.
Wait a minute. Basically the people with the guns?
Yes.
As opposed to the people who don't have guns?
Guns.
So here we are, Chasing Justice here in round one, here in the neighborhood. We're back in the neighborhood here. We have a little adult beverage going around. We have all the fellas here. It's really wonderful. When we come back, we're going to talk about the guys with and without the guns and how you feel safe and how you feel alone. And I'll throw it out there because I know he's listening. On my Twitter account, at Pangaro Global, where I talk about Chasing Justice a lot, this article came out, and I had talked about Beto the other night when he came out and said he is going to take your AR-15s and your AK-47s. He came out right out and said it. He's the first one that ever came out and said what we know they've all wanted to do all along. And, you know, I got a lot of responses on Twitter. I get one guy who goes, hey, listen, they haven't taken your AR-15s and your AK-47 yet. And besides, a real man wouldn't need an AR-15. Okay? So immediately, let's not argue the merits of guns or not guns. Let's turn around and attack Lieutenant Joe's manhood, which you can't do, by the way.
It's your news and entertainment network. News blogs, informative podcasts, entertaining videos, or listen to 24/7 talk radio on our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa. We the People, AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome back to Chasing Justice here on the America Out Loud Radio Network. I want to thank you all very, very much for listening in every week. You know, it's an honor and a privilege for me to be able to speak to you, and it's an even bigger privilege when you reach out to me at Pangaro Global, which is a Twitter account, jpangaro at americaoutloud.com. It's really wonderful to hear from everybody out there, and it's just been a great experience for me, and I know for all the fellas in the neighborhood. And I want to personally thank each and every one of you fellas from the neighborhood, because we used to do this sitting around the fire pit in my backyard with a cold beer and a shot of tequila, and we would sit there and solve the world's problems. And now we do it on America Out Loud, and I think it's great, and I appreciate you coming as much as you guys take the time out of your lives to come and be here with me and with the whole audience. So give yourselves a golf clap, everyone.
Yay!
That's fantastic. All right, so recently we celebrated Labor Day, and we talked about Labor Day, and how wonderful it is that, you know, work is a good thing. Jobs are up. The economy is rolling. That's really a great thing. So it's a celebration of the ability to take care of your family. I think that was a wonderful, wonderful thing. We've all been very happy here. All of us have been employed forever and ever and ever. We've been lucky. You know, I listened to Rush Limbaugh for years, my whole life, as everybody loves Uncle Rush. My kids used to call him Uncle Rush. Rush used to say, if there's a recession, just don't participate. So I kind of took that to heart. So if there was a recession and I ran out of work, I just went and found something else to do, and I just kept working. So Labor Day was an awesome thing. Jim, did you do anything special for Labor Day?
No, I don't. I just relaxed. It was a very nice...
Well, it's good because you're a hard worker. How about you, Billy?
Picnic with family, hot dogs and burgers, and a cold brew.
That's outstanding.
I got a big surprise for everyone. Labor Day weekend was a motorcycle race for me.
No way, Jack, you were racing a motorcycle?
Yeah.
I can't believe it. That's so out of ordinary for you.
Did you win?
Did you go in a circle?
Wait a minute. No. What'd you say? Did you win?
No, there was no winning, but there was a lot of fun.
Oh, did everyone get a trophy?
No, there was no... not everyone got a trophy, no.
Oh, this is fantastic. You had a motorcycle, you get a trophy.
Jack, I drove a consolation.
I got
prize.
A trophy. Yeah. All right. So we celebrated that, but as we come out of the summer with a celebration, you know, shortly thereafter came the remembrance of 9/11. Now, I was showing all you fellas a picture tonight of a picture I had taken. I worked in 9/11. Our police department here in New Jersey, all the police departments, the PBAs, Policemen's Benevolent Associations, our unions, took turns going up to Ground Zero to work Ground Zero to try and help everybody that was up there. And my particular day was December 11th, 2001. So I was up there really when the pit was still active. They were still searching for people. The pit was still on fire. It was an amazing experience. I felt like I was in the middle of history. It was not lost on me that I was standing in the middle of history. And it was amazing to watch the firemen and the cops that were there that were directly affected. You know, the guys and girls who lost people. And you watch them, and they went down in that pit. I was there for 12 hours, and there was people there much longer working 12 hours. And you would hear these machinery. The machinery was just going. You know, the pit was lit up as it got dark at night, and the machines were just pulling the pile apart, looking for people, looking for anything. And whenever they would find something or think they found remains or something of a person, there would be this big giant horn that was blown, and it was the most eerie thing because this horn would blow and the entire pit would come to a standstill. And you would see they had these machines that looked like gigantic hands would be pulling this pile of debris out, and it would just lay it gently along the bottom of the pit. And then all of these firemen and these other workers would come running at the debris pile with shovels, digging through there, looking for their brothers and sister fire people, police officers, civilians, everyone that was lost in that tragedy. And they would go at this pile, and then you would see that they found something. And the reverence that they showed for that was unbelievable to watch. And an ambulance would go down in the pit. They would take whatever it is that they found, a bone, a piece of a bone, something of a human being, and they would put it on the gurney, cover it in a flag. Everybody saluted it. They would put it in the ambulance, and the ambulance would drive out of the pit. And the whole place was silent. Well, as the ambulance cleared the top of the pit and disappeared, the horn would blow again, you know? And then all of a sudden, the cacophony began up again. And it was a non-stop search. So 9/11 is something we should never forget. And I mention it because it's this time of year. 9/11 was a terrible tragedy. We lost such wonderful people. But we also lost these heroes, these people that went running into the building when this happened. Billy?
9/11 has a special meaning for me. My anniversary is September 12th, the day after. Our 25th wedding anniversary was on the day after 9/11 happened. And we don't celebrate it on our wedding anniversary. We lost some dear friends, Don and Jean Peterson, on Flight 93. And they weren't even supposed to be on that flight. They took an earlier flight because it was available, unfortunately. But on that flight, I know that being a very stalwart Christian man, Don was praying that entire time. And he, for all we know, he may have been some of the people that prevented that aircraft from going any further and destroying more lives. But that day means a lot to many people for very specific reasons. And having it to be the first time that so many people were lost in an attack by a foreign entity on our soil, it was just devastating to so many people. And
Bill, you've told me that story before, and I can see how choked up you are over, because you personally knew people who died in that event. You know, that was a watershed moment for America. There was what happened, everything up to that moment, and then everything after that moment. So thank you for sharing that with us.
You know, a lot of respects for, you know, the nation lost a piece of its innocence that day. As far as persons go, I knew persons who were involved in the towers in New York. My cousin Georgie was actually painting in the Pentagon when the plane hit. You know, luckily, he was just fine. But thinking about that day, and I've said this before, and I don't mean to take away anything from the horrors or the tragedy of 9/11, but on that evening, the next day, the day after, the days that Joe was up in New York when they were putting the American flag on the remains of these human beings who had given their lives, knowingly or unknowingly, voluntarily or not voluntarily, do you think that on those days, if you were to mention socialism, or you were to mention the inception of socialism in the United States of America, or the removal of somebody's guns and or any part of the rights given to them in the Bill of Rights or the Constitution, do you think that person would have gotten away without, at the very least, a tongue lashing, at the very most, a physical beating?
Jack, it's a good way that you've connected these two things together, and I see it as you're speaking, and it's where I wanted to go. What we saw on 9/11 was our country was attacked, our people were attacked, and we banded together. And what did we band together around? We banded together around our traditions, we banded together around our God, we banded together around our Constitution, and we banded together as all of us being one family, right? That wasn't, there was no black, white, there was no Asian, Caucasian, there was no Democrat, Republican. They were all Americans. All of us were that day. And
there was nothing that we couldn't do the week after that tragedy. There was nothing this country united couldn't do in this world.
And that brings me back to my article when you read it. It said, how did we get here? How did we go from that day, very recent in our past, to today, where we're talking about having a socialist government take over and destroy all that America was? And on that day, you could not have stopped anyone. Which leads us to our situation with the guns and Mr. Beto down there from Texas. So I'm watching, you know, parts of that clown car show. And I don't mean to be disrespectful. But I got to say, I said, let me watch this debate and let me hear what they have to say. Now, I think I already know them because I listen to their news things. I read the things that they talk about. And I'm saying, there's not one of those people up there that I would trust with being in charge with my local dog catcher office, let alone running the United States of America, based on the things that they said they would do, right? Dismantling America. So I said, but let me listen. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe somebody will say something that'll make perfect sense to me. We all have to have open minds and listen, right? So I'm listening, and I couldn't get through much of it. I'm really sorry. And then Mr. Beto gets up there, and somebody asks a question about gun confiscation. He says, well, you know, not the kind that'll kill people, not the part that are used for military. Now, nobody here, and nobody in Chasing Justice Land, wants anyone to be shot, especially a child with an AR-15. Nobody wants that. But the reality is, when he said, you're darn right I'm going to take away your guns, I'm coming to get them, I'm taking your AR-15s and your AK-47s, bop, bop, and he went on and on. That was a watershed moment in American politics, because we've all known that the people on the left really want to do that, not because they don't like guns, because they all got guns taking care of them. They got armed people around them all the time, protecting them, right? They don't get rid of their security details when they have a position of prominence. They just want to get rid of your guns. Because really the bigger picture is to disarm you, because that's the first step in taking over the country. You have to have disarmed population. Otherwise, you got a problem. Jim, you got something to say there?
I see you. I just thought of Melissa Milano, the Lefty Melissa. Looney, mm-hmm. and she got caught informing the American public that she has two guns. Oh, by the way, she also has some mental illness in the family. So should we take those guns away?
Right.
But I want to give you a perspective someone gave me, because it's very good perspective. Where do we draw the line? And, you know, I'm in favor of the Second Amendment. But where do we draw the line? Should we allow bazookas?
We don't allow that now.
Tanks? Where do we draw the line? Mm-hmm. So do we draw the line on the AR-15? Do we draw the line on pistols? I don't know. I don't have the answer, but it was a good response I got from a liberal friend, and I wasn't able to answer. All I know is I want to be able to protect my family, and I want to protect us from tyranny, but I don't think people should have bazookas.
No, but now let's look at it. The reason the Second Amendment exists is not so you can shoot a deer, Mr. Cuomo. The reason we have the Second Amendment is so that as an American citizen, we can fight off a tyrannical government. So people say, you're going to fight off the tanks and this and that. Well, you know what? I think a bunch of farmers fought back the most powerful military on the planet at the time during our revolution by having people with flintlocks properly positioned. Now, I'm not saying that that's it. My point is, that's why we have the Second Amendment, so that we can protect ourselves and our family. Some people brought up some interesting thing about Mr. Beto. Number one, he finally admitted what we've known the Democrats want to do all along, is take away everybody's guns, and that's the slippery slope. The AR-15, man, that's a scary-looking gun. It looks like an army gun. Looks like, man, right? But it's really a Ruger 223, which is the exact same gun, same clip, but that don't look too scary, so that one's okay to keep. But the one that looks scary, we got to get rid of that. And like I said, nobody wants anybody to get shot with that. So before you people say, how would you like it if somebody... I wouldn't like anything to happen to anybody in my family or anybody I know. But the reality is you don't disarm the entire population because some crazy people do bad things. Now, Mr. Beto also had a problem when he was younger, right, with DWI. And didn't he do a burglary or something? And he wants to take away your homeowner's guns so you can't protect your house. That's pretty funny. I read that in the paper today. I don't know if it's true or not. But I thought that was pretty funny juxtaposition of, didn't he do a burglary? And he don't want anybody inside having guns if he's going to do that kind of stuff. But he revealed for what it is, and that's the slippery slope. We take away the AR-15. We take away the AK-47. Now we take away all semi-automatic rifles. Then semi-automatic handguns. Then we take away all those revolvers. Then you have a Derringer. You're allowed to have a Derringer, but you have to be like Barney Fife. You got to keep the bullet in your top pocket, and you got to pull that out and load it when you're getting killed.
Well, Beto didn't say, I'm going to take away all the automatic weapons or the high capacity magazines. He said, I'm going to take away all your guns. That includes the Derringers to the AR-15s and the bazookas and the tanks, whatever. Anything that will shoot is, in his mind, is the thing that he needs to take away from us.
You know, you can come to Jim Giordano because I'm a little wimp, but there are people in this country who will not give up their guns.
No.
Of course not.
And now, you know, and I'm going to support them, and I get it. You know, who are they to take away? I mean, Murphy took away my gun. Nice. He made my clip because I bought the gun. I don't know how many bullets are in the thing. I never used the thing. But there's more than 10. So my clip is now illegal. So my gun is illegal. I got to find a new clip. I got to get rid of the clips.
Right. And you don't do anything wrong, so why are we going after you? How about we go to Chicago and try Mr. Beto's confiscation plan there? Let's go after the people that are killing our fellow citizens every single day in Chicago and go take those guns away. Anybody up for that? No? No, probably not.
You know, you gotta honestly, everybody in America needs to think about fear the government that fears your gun. If we have a revolution in this country, the one thing that must occur is the military must stand against the tyrannical government. And once that happens, then we can bring about real change, whether it be anarchy or whether it be
right.
Come what may. But I mean, you know, everybody in this country, a lot of people speak about, you know, I don't like guns, any type of gun. I don't believe in guns, this and that, and God this and country that. And you know what? If somebody breaks into your home and is looking to kill you or your children, the first thing you will do is call someone with a gun. The second thing you'll do is pray that they get there in time. So before you put away guns, God, and country, think about that.
And Jack, you're right, because people come, and I'll come back to that comment, how are you going to fight the military? And this is what I've always believed. We are a land of freedom and justice, and our military are heroes. So if there was a problem where the government broke down and started coming after the citizens, you're asking these American men and women who are in uniform, they turn their weapons on their families, their friends, their neighbors. I don't think they would do it. I think they would probably step aside and have a coup and do something else. I can't imagine our military turning against our people, but that's why
Every tyranny had a secret police force. You look at fascism, look at communism. They had a secret police force that beat up the population, and the population that was unarmed.
Right.
So I'm not saying, well, it'll be the military, it'll be some kind of new police force, but I get very concerned when 30 years ago, you never saw a federal police force other than the FBI. Now, everywhere you turn around, there's federal police. I mean, how many more police are we going to get? Let's keep the police local. You know, yes, let's have an FBI, one that works, that's not corrupted. But we don't need more and more and more police. And after 9/11, the fear that got brought into the population, and it seemed like the amount of police officers from every different ilk, whether it's the park, you go out in a boat in Barnegat Bay, how many police officers do we have? We have the Coast Guard. Now, every town has to get into the thing. They have their own police officers. I mean, what are
interesting.
We doing?
Well, we have to end on this segment, but I saw something today as I was flipping through social media, and there was no connection to any date, but it was a picture of, and I'm sure it had to do with the gun debate going on right now. It was a picture of a very famous Japanese general in World War II, and his comment was, "We cannot attack the American homeland. There would be a rifle behind every blade of grass."
Oh,
wow.
Wow. You need to find out who that general was.
Yes, it was an amazing thing to realize. They even knew that back then.
It had to be Yamamoto because he lived in America.
It might have been, but yeah. That was his point. There'll be a rifle behind every blade of grass. We can't go there. And the American people would fight back against tyranny.
Tyranny.
Thank you, Jim. Gentlemen, we'll be back in a minute with Chasing Justice in round three.
The question I always get asked is, where do I get the energy from? Well, keeping up with Malcolm Out Loud is no easy task, friends, even for Malcolm. Well, you may know that I've personally been taking Healthy Cell for some time now. Well, the great news is Healthy Cell has a new type of natural supplement called the Nutrition Gel. So no more hard-to-swallow pills. The good-tasting gel can be mixed into smoothies, yogurt, or water. These gels provide maximum absorption of essential nutrients, and it's healthy for our gut, not abrasive like pills can be. You know, it's time for all of us to go pill-free, and you can try it with a free 2-day supply. Just cover $2.95 shipping, and the company Healthy Cell will cover the cost of the product. Go to healthycell.com/outloud, or simply click the Healthy Cell logo at the top of AmericaOutloud.com.
A ding, 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 ding. Round three here on Chasing Justice on the America Out Loud Radio Network. All right, so here we are back in the neighborhood. It's, the afternoon is moving by here. We're keeping Bill awake. Jimmy's chomping at the bit. You know, Jack just decided to race Arthur the dog around the backyard a few times because that's what he does. So I want to thank everybody again for being here with us each and every weekday at 3 o'clock. This is fantastic. I decided, how do we keep an open mind and look at our Democrat candidates for president? One of them might end up being president of the United States. It can happen. You know, the population, we already know the population is 50-50, 51-49. It could swing either way. We know that there's a huge population of people who are not citizens that are voting. Our Democrat friends don't want ID for voters because they say it's racist. But I don't know how it's racist to say you have to have your ID with you, and ID for everything else in the world. But they just don't want to have people show up at the poll, not have an ID, not be able to prove that they're legal, and not be able to vote. That's the truth, and we can dance around that all we want. So let's go around the room. Let's just start with who'd like to go first? Who'd like to raise their hand? Jim. Okay, they vote for Jim. Jim, I'm going to give you a name. Tell me what's good about this candidate. Are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
Joe Biden.
He is stupid. I hate to say it. He's geriatric. He's lost his marbles, which is good because you want to know something? He is a socialist. And he would not have the ability to institutionalize socialism in this country, so he'd be just basically a lame duck.
Okay, so let me rephrase the question when I go to Bill. Okay? Now, it's funny, you know, when you go to a job interview, and everybody always says one of the main questions you'll get in any kind of a job interview, they'll say, Jack, you've done fine up to this point. Could you please give me, what is one of your weaknesses? And people always try and outthink that question and go, I try too hard. I work too much. I care too much. And the reason that they do that is they take something that sounds bad, but really it's a good thing. And that's not how it really works. So I'll clue you people in. When you're out there taking a job interview, they're looking to find that you can find, hey, I do have a weakness and I can work on that. So don't come up with, I try too hard. I love my work too much. Don't come up with any of that. So let's look at this question here. All right. What is good about this candidate? Kamala Harris.
I can't think of too much that's good. I try to listen to everyone. I would have rather had Joe Biden. I have a lot more to say about Joe Biden than this woman. I don't see too much because what happens is as she speaks, as she comes across with some good ideas about the economy and what have you, and then all of a sudden we're back to speaking about radical ideas, radicalized socialism, things that aren't going to work, things that are known not to work, but they're putting them out there as vote getters.
What good idea does she have on the economy?
She was speaking mainly of a increase in taxes. Now, hold on, Jimmy. An increase in taxes of per person, per taxpayer, of 50 cents or a dollar to go into a national fund to pay down the trillions of dollars in debt. I don't necessarily believe that's a bad idea. Now, Jimmy, I know you're going to extrapolate upon that and bring that to, well, yeah, in 5 years from now, it's going to be 100,000 per person. I understand that. But to rein it in and to keep it at a dollar per person per year to pay down the national debt as an auxiliary tax, I would be in favor of, only to try and rein this in to bring it under control.
Bing, 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 bing. Jack, thank you so much for actually answering the question appropriately. You found something good about
surprised.
That candidate.
I was shocked, Jack. Thank you. I agree with you, by the way.
I personally, if I had to vote for a Democrat, I'm a Joe Biden guy. I believe that Joe Biden is so powerless. Easy. I believe his powerlessness it would not be able to bring about major changes that want to be shown by the more radical left.
Okay. Well, hey, you worked on, you know, we're working. We're trying to see you an open mind here. All right, Bill, let's see. Spin the wheel and find the radical lefty for Bill. Bill, now we've made fun of her. We've called her Pocahontas because she did a ethnic appropriation of our American Indian community. But let's talk about Senator Warren. What's good about Senator Warren?
She has made history so much more interesting by digging deeper into her DNA than I think anyone on the left or right has ever dug. I don't know if it's 1/100,000th of a percent, which is why she's called Pocahontas. And the only really good thing I can think about this young lady is she's female. That's the best thing I can think of. I'm sorry. That's it.
Well, hey, it's a positive. Now, it's a positive. And she helped us look at history a little differently. I think that's a good thing.
But now, I agree with you, Jack, about Joe Biden. One of the things that he said, one of his gaffes, he said, when I was younger, I could remember anything, whether it happened or not.
Well, he also said that they believe in truth instead of facts.
Yes.
You know, the guy, he's fun. I mean, he would be fun for 4 years, you know, coming up there. I'm the president of the Philippines. No, well, no, Mr. President, you're not.
You know,
but I was there one time.
You know how the media has always made fun of presidents' gaffes in the past.
Sure.
You know, President Bush was a great one. And who's the other one that kept falling
Ford.
Down?
Ford. President, you know? Ford, yes.
But Biden would the media would have a field day with him.
Oh, no, they wouldn't.
Oh, gentlemen, what? I got that channeling feeling. I think I feel Ronald Reagan coming through. Oh, here he comes. Hang on, everybody. Well, Bill, there you go again. There's nothing right about the people on the left. They want to destroy our country. I was telling George Bush, he was a fine young man, served his country, you know, was my vice president. I told George, there's nothing right with them. Don't trust them. Or I gotta go, you know. She's waiting for me on cloud nine. Adieu, goodbye.
But you guys, the point here, I think, is that when I watched all of them up on the stage, I found that I had a really hard time with it. So give me some information about why are they dangerous, Jack? Why shouldn't they be elected?
You know, the main focus of the group has turned to the radical socialism angle because they feel it's going to gain them more votes. Not all of these candidates were radical socialists or had socialist leanings before it became a popular thing, before it became popular in the youth society to be socialist. I think it's just they'll bend in any direction to gain those votes.
See, that's your perspective, and it could be true. But now I'm going to put my tinfoil cap on.
Oh boy, here we go.
This is a globalist plot, and they're all part of the plot, whether they know it or not. So socialism, communism, and there's some elements of corruption of capitalism. It's all a globalist plot. It starts in our school systems. They've infiltrated the school systems. They've infiltrated all our greater institutions of this country. Two things need to go before they win. First, the United States Constitution. The second, actually probably in reverse order, is Christianity. And they've done a good deal on destroying both.
Well, as AOC said, what good are your prayers?
Well,
how revealing is that?
We have our man of faith here, who is really the best among us here, is Big Bill. And he knows it, even though I could tell you stories. But, you know, they wouldn't be true. I would be making them up. But Bill really is a good guy. And to remove Christianity, which was a point of a previous episode here on Chasing Justice, and a previous article that I wrote about removing God from everything. When you take away God, you devalue life, relationships, the value of the world. You take everything out, then anything goes. Then it's killing babies is one thing. Now they say, okay, the elderly, we can move them along. Now they're saying, I saw an article the other day, well, the mentally ill should have access to euthanasia also. If people are mentally ill enough, they should be able to take themselves out. If they think they're having that much of a problem. Now, listen, I'm not saying being a sick elderly person would not be painful, horrible, and terrible. We all know that that's true. Being mentally ill and having to deal with that, having a family that has to deal with someone who's severely mentally ill, I'm sure it's horribly painful. But do we not value those lives? Did God not put those people here for a purpose? Maybe the purpose was to test our mettle. Otherwise, we're going to say, what, God made a mistake? Oh, God, you did that one wrong. Now, I don't know. I have not had to deal with that to an extent that I've seen other people have to deal with it. But I don't think the wholesale devaluing of life in our country does any of us any good. And when you remove God, as you're saying, Jim, they have to attack God and get rid of God so that the state is God. You go a long way to then controlling what people do because there is no God to pray to. There is no anything else but us.
No power above the state. God is a problem to them.
Mm-hmm. Bill, Mr. Man of Faith, you got to jump in here now.
Every life has value. Every life. From the worst criminal to the most saintly. Your mother-in-law, B, I'll give you she's a perfect example. She was a lovely woman. She fostered over 30 babies. I mean, what person is capable of having that much compassion? And they weren't all babies that were totally healthy. Some of them were addicted at birth to drugs and everything else. And she capably took care of these babies. Now, that was a woman that you would say she was saintly. She was a woman of faith. And yet, even her, at some point, could have done something wrong. Each of us have done something in our past that we're not proud of.
I never did anything wrong.
We'll talk about that off the air.
What about last Thursday, Jim? God.
All right. So, you know, every person has value. But when it comes to end-of-life scenarios, when you have someone that has had cancer, say that person is 90, and they're just tired of living. They're tired of constant surgeries, constant chemos, being sick all the time. They have that attitude. They don't want to deal with it anymore. So does that give them, does the government have the right to say, okay, we're going to let you die. We're going to help you die. Is that right?
I don't know.
God says, life was created by me. It's mine to take. And that's not scripture. I paraphrased it. It's in there somewhere. But we have to believe in the Lord's justice. And it's only his to take.
And it is hard to watch, Bill, someone suffer.
It is.
But
it
I would say
is.
No Let extraordinary me. Measures. If that's what they wanted to do, that's fine. When God takes you, he takes you. But to say somebody, hey, we can shoot you up with a needle and take you out, I don't know that's righteous.
Let me give you a personal example.
I agree with you, Jeff.
When my younger brother was diagnosed with a cancerous brain tumor, they gave him 6 months to live. Well, he lasted 15 years after that. Now, doing it towards the end of those 15 years, he's had 5 brain surgeries. 5. He had a spot on his head that was so soft from the same place where they did the surgeries that was just so soft and tender. But he finally said, no more surgeries. I can't take another surgery.
Mm-hmm.
And he was put on hospice. And he eventually passed away. Mm-hmm. But it was an easy, dignified death.
And it was natural.
He
died when his body was done and God took him home. It wasn't the state saying, well, you lived your usefulness. Imagine what would happen to people, elderly people that don't have someone to stand up for them. When they come in and said, we're paying $87,000 a year to keep you around. You know, maybe you'd be better off going.
But let me tell you. What he gave towards the end of his life. He did. Whenever somebody would come over and try to help him or do anything or say something to make him more comfortable, he'd turn it around and make them comfortable. He never wanted to make anyone feel uncomfortable around him. Mm-hmm. He gave more than he got. And that was just my brother's attitude. And if he hadn't lived that long, I never would have understood a lot of things about him.
If he bailed out in year 6, you would have lost 9 years with him and everything he did.
I would have lost a lot.
So does anybody here in this room or out here in Chasing Justice Land doubt that Bill is any different than that? Big Bill is exactly the same as that kind of guy. You always make everybody feel better.
So we kind of got a little melancholy here with this because these are important topics that we're going to have to come back and address. We only have a couple more minutes, and I want to go back to the theme. This week's theme was, you know, the coolness of socialism. So in a couple of seconds, one of the things I pursue in the article on AmericaOutLoud.com, you can go read it now, is what would happen if they actually won and they took over? What do you see in the first couple of months, Jack, if they took over? What do you see going on?
I don't think they could accomplish anything in the first couple of years. I think it would be a slow dismantling of the Constitution, of our rights, of our system. I think it would be a slow dismantling process. I think they know that. I believe if we had a socialist president that could serve for 8 years, some serious damage could be done.
Now, do you think it would be an 8-year term and he would give up that power once he became the dear leader?
Yeah, well, it's dependent upon his personality because for whatever reason, we seem to judge personality over what's being done or what's being helped. I honestly think one of the Kardashians could become president right now.
All right, so Billy, what do you think happens to the rule of law in that first year after we have a socialist government?
Will freedom of speech be taken away? That's one of the basic rights.
It has to fall.
Well, yes, you know, you would have the right kind of speech. You couldn't say hurtful.
It has to fall. Well, it has to fall.
Listen to what George Washington, the father of our country, said about that. He said, if freedom of speech is ever taken away, then dumb and silent we may be led like sheep to the slaughter. And I'm going to add to that, and we deserve it. If we allow freedom of speech to be taken away from us, if we allow a socialist to be in the president of our country, then we deserve everything we get.
I don't disagree with that if we're going to let it happen. We might not have any choice. Jim, you're going to wrap us up now. We're at the end of the episode.
I agree. We do deserve it because all those people who died to protect our freedoms, give us our freedoms, we deserve it. It's over, Joe. This Obama bomb. Was so bad.
This bomb.
8 years. Trump is trying to get out of it. We get another socialist in there, it's over. I find myself an island somewhere, and I get out of here because there's no way we're going to survive.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you for sitting with us here in the neighborhood. We've had quite a round table here tonight. Have no fear, though. Like I said, I will not go quietly into the night. If it starts to go down, you can count on Lieutenant Joe stepping up and doing the right thing to lead the troops to freedom and justice and back to America.
And the boys in the neighborhood will be right behind you.
My generals, so to speak.
I'll be on the island.
We'll see you soon here on Chasing Justice. Remember, be a part of the solution, not a part of the problem.